Cyril, tu veux qu'on commence?
Pour moi, c'est bon, quand vous voulez.
Il y a déjà 62 participants, donc je pense qu'on peut commencer. OK. Hi everyone. I'll welcome you to the LIA Forestia seminar number 4. I'm Anne-Sophie Sergent from INTA Bariloche, and today I will moderate the seminar of Cyril Radgeber. Before going to Cyril's contribution, I will make a short introduction for those who attend the LIA seminar for the first time. The LIA Forestia is an international associated laboratory between three research laboratories: INTA Bariloche in Argentina, INRAE Orléans in France, and in the National Autonomous University of Huanta in Peru. Other INTA and INRAE units participate to the LIA Forestia. In Argentina, INTA Tandil, INTA Monte Carlo, INTA Castellar. In France, INRAE Clermont-Ferrand, INRAE Avignon, and INRAE Bordeaux. The LIA Forestia aims to investigating adaptive mechanisms and their implication to forestry breeding and silviculture. More information are available in the website of the LIA Forestia. The LIA Forestia start a round of short seminar in June this year, aimed to stimulating the scientific communication among these members and as well as between them in other international laboratory. This seminar are a new opportunity for Forestia scientists to present and discuss their objective, research work, and results on adaptation forest ecosystem to global change. The round of Forestia web seminar takes place Fridays every 4 weeks. The next seminar will be on September 24 by Marlene Fernandez, a researcher of CONICET in The next seminar will be on September 24 by Marlene Fernandez in a research of CONICET in INTA Tandil. Today, the presentation will be about 45 minutes. After, we will have a question session about 15 to 30 minutes. To ask questions, you have two options. At any moment of the presentation, you can make a question in the chat, and I will read the question to Cyril, or after you can raise your hand during the question session to ask Cyril directly your question. This seminar will be recorded and available soon in this direction. I'm really happy to introduce Cyril Radgeber today. Since 2005, Cyril is working at INRAE Grand Est Nancy France on the impact of climatic change on forest productivity and wood quality. Cyril research interests cover the field of wood formation, dendroecology, dendrochronology, and vegetation modeling. He's particularly involved in understanding the relation between tree ring formation and environmental factor in the context of global change in order to assess past climate variability, detect ongoing ongoing changes, and assess future impact on forests. More generally, he's also interested in ecology, environmental history, and science philosophy. His main focus is understanding the influence of environmental factor on cambial activity and tree ring formation using data from instrumented stands. He's published more than 50 publications in international peer-reviewed journal and advised four PhD students. He developed an even innovative method to dealing with wood formation for monitoring data, for wood formation monitoring data, as the international database GloboXilo and the air package that and the air package caviar for checking, displaying, and processing data for monitoring wood formation. Today, Cyril's talk is about ecophysiology of tree ring formation concept, method, and application. So, Cyril, the floor is yours, and you'll be able to share your screen now.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and I will share my screen. Is it okay for you like that?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So thank you very much, Anne-Sophie, for this nice presentation. And I start right away with my presentation. As you said, on ecophysiology of tree information. So the outline is quite long. There is numerous chapters, but I made this outline quite detailed, but there is only a few slides per chapter. And the idea is to really to show you the different topic we can discuss about with tree information in general. I will have a short general introduction, then few slides about the biological basis of wood formation, then about the methods, and then three chapters about the results with the phenology of tree formation, what I call the intranural dynamics, and I will explain what it is to my point of view, and also the kinetics of cell differentiation. And then few slides also on new topics I see in this area. And then the general synthesis and perspective. And I will try not to be too long, but this is a challenge to me all the time. So for to start, I will make it short for the introduction because I'm sure that all of you are aware about the importance of forest, trees, and wood in carbon sequestration and carbon cycle in general, as an example, and also the importance of treeing in climate science, for example, again, and in climate change. And then I will also show you what I call a roadmap, but how I see the interaction between the xylogenesis we study and also the other field and factors. And for example, so I'm focused on xylogenesis, but I also, of course, working on the impact of external factor like climatic influence and mainly temperature, but also physiological process are really important to take into account. And I worked recently more about the interaction with photosynthesis. And of course, I work on xylogenesis because it is the driver, of treeing weeds and specifically treeing structure. And then we will discuss work on cell morphology. And this is really important, of course, for wood quality and density profile, for example, carbon sequestration, the quantity of carbon per treeing, and also treeing for functioning. And we investigated also this area recently. So I will move now to the biological basis of wood formation and how the process of xylogenesis creates xylem cells and shape treeing structure. So I like to see the cambium. Of course, we are really focusing on the stem at breast height, but I like to see the cambium like an envelope. And this envelope really envelops the tree, the stem, the branches, the coarse roots, the small roots also. And this is really important to keep that in mind, and also with all the fruits that go through the trees. This is really important to keep in mind. So now I focus also, of course, on the stem, where you have the xylem on one side and the phloem on the other side. A bit more in details, the early wood, late wood. And the topic of this talk today, here you have the cambial zone and the developing xylem, mature xylem, and the previous tree ring. And on the other side, on the bark side, the developing phloem and the mature phloem. And then we will see how these xylem cells are created. My screen is frozen. I don't know why. Okay, and so it starts from the cambium, and when a cambial cell can divide, and then this mother cell can enlarge, and then thicken its cell walls, and finally it dies to become mature. And during these stages, there is several processes involved. In cell division, of course, there is the process of cell division, but also the process of cell growth and the process of primary cell wall formation, which are also important, these two last processes for the enlargement of the mother cell. And then for the wall thickening, the process of secondary cell wall deposition and also cell wall lignification are important. And then the last process to complete the differentiation is the programmed cell death. And what is really important and interesting is that these processes, they shape the final cell size and shape of the cell. So this is basically the enlargement stages, while the wall thickening stages is really related with the final wall amount and the composition of cell wall material. And again, the program cell death finally completes the development and is of course important for support, but mainly for conduction. Also, this process, they occur in, they are organized in spatial and temporal. And we start with the dormant cambium and the previous year phloem and previous year xylem. And then when the cambium is active, it is able, of course, to divide. So we have a lot more cells in the cambium during the vegetation period. There is also enlarging cell, thickening cell, and the mature cell in the mature zone. And still we have the phloem here. And this is important also to have that in the, to have the temporal span in mind. So in orange here, you have the development of the phloem, and in green, the division of the cambium, and in blue, the enlargement period, in red, the wall thickening period. So all this is coordinated inside the stem and the xylem and the phloem, but also, again, this is frozen, strange. Yeah, also at the tree level where the phenology of leaves, of stem and of roots, they are well coordinated and integrated. I also start to work on this aspect, which are really interesting and important. Okay, so then we move to the methods that we use to monitor wood formation. And it starts with the, of course, the sites, the instrumented sites, where we took micro cores, usually weekly. Usually we also install manual and automatic band dendrometers. We also monitor leaf phenology. We have also install weather stations. And we, when we can, we make also ecophysiological measurements like sap flow, and also measurements on the soil like soil humidity, which are really important. So it's important to have all these measurements to be able afterwards to really use the detailed data we are collecting. So now about the sample preparation. So we took micro cores from the stem, then we prepare them at the lab. The main stage is to cut them in thin section, and then we observe this anatomical thin section, and then we are able to see the growing season a bit like a stop motion movie with all these images from the section. So here is just a presentation with five sections. But usually we have more than that. For temperate forest, I would say 30 of them. And on this section, here you can see in April that the cambium is dormant. This is for Scots pine in the Vosges Mountains. Then let's say 1 month later in May, cambium is active with all these dividing cells and the first early wood cells in enlargement. Then in June, cambium is still active. Early wood is nearly completed, and there is xylem cells that are forming their secondary cell wall. And let's say that in July, now early wood is completed and late wood starts to grow with cell in enlargement and secondary cell wall formation. And then at the end of the growing season in October, the curing is completed with early wood here and late wood here. Then the next slide is about how to distinguish between the different phases of differentiation. And so here we have the cambium again with all these small plates, let's say. For the enlarging zone, the cells, they are much bigger, at least twice bigger, but they are still only made of primary cell wall. And for the thickening cells, then the cells, they start to have thicker cell walls, birefringent cell walls, and also bicolored cell walls. And for mature cells, now the lignification is complete. So we only have one color for this cell wall. And now we have made all this and counted all the section, we can have our raw data. And this is for these sites, the most investigated site we have in the Vosges Mountains, where we have three species, 3 year. And here you can see the difference between the species and the years for the cambial cell. And then we also have the counting for the enlarging cells and the counting for the thickening cells. And finally, the accumulation of mature cells. Then as Anne-Sophie said already, to treat this data, I wrote a package in R called Caviar. And this package is able to deal with Excel file we complete when with our countings. And then to check also raw data if they are correct and to standardize also this data. And then to assess what I call the critical dates for phenology, also some parameters to characterize the dynamics of wood formation during the growing season. What is missing in the package still is the aspect about the kinetics of cell differentiation. And then there is also some graphics and reports that the package can output. And then also, as Sophie mentioned already, thanks to this cost action stress, we collected data from all over the world, I would say mainly 3 continents, North America, Europe, and Asia for 4 biomes and 15 conifer species, and there is more than 700 trees in total. So we could have a lot more now because in the recent years, there is a lot of development in this area. And what I wanted to point here is that for now, there is no sites from South America and also no sites from rainforest and few sites for dry area. So this is just to mention that South America can contribute a lot to this database. And then to finish this part on the methodology, would like to show you a short movie made by Ignatius. And I think Ignatius is attending this conference. I saw his name. I try to start the movie. I'm stuck. So just now it doesn't want to work. I don't know why, because it was working just before. Maybe it's just this. This is tricky. This is just because I have this laser and not this arrow. So I really don't like this laser anymore. Okay. So the movie started now. So you can see the growth of the phloem. And now the division of cambium are quite slow, but then it will increase in speed. Then you can see it with enlarging cell, thickening cell, in cell wall formation. And then the program cell death that is progressing through the end of the tree-ring, and now the tree-ring is completed. Okay, and then I move to the results. And for the result, I will only take some example. And for the phenology, I will take this example from this elevation gradient we had in the south of the Alps, and thanks to a project led by Philippe Rosenberg. So this on this site, we have four plots from 1,350 meters to 2,300 meters. And we computed all these variables on wood formation phenology. So for the beginning of the growing season, we have the beginning of the enlargement, for example, and we can see that there is a nice linear trend from the bottom side to the top side, with a start at the bottom side around mid-May and at the top side around mid-June, so 1 month of delay. And this makes 3 days per 100 meters of elevation. But for the cessation, we don't have this linear trend. We have more a banana shape with the bottom side stopping first, followed by the top side. So to summarize this, what we found there, so for all the variables at the beginning of the growing season, we have this linear trend, and we are able to convert it in degrees. So it makes 5 days per degree of delay. Also, what we observed, is that the maximal rate of cell production is at about the same time for all the sites. And for the end, as we saw, this is true for all the critical dates at the end of the growing season, we have this banana shape. And then this makes that the duration is decreasing, or the duration is increasing when we are going down, or decreasing when we are going up, while the rate of cell production is increasing with elevation, which was quite a surprise for me. And then I explore a little bit this. And we suggest that this is an adaptation to this very short growing season. Then with this data and other data from the Global Xylo database, we designed a model. First, the model was designed only for the beginning of enlargement. And we compare threshold models, Itsum models, and also chilling influence Itsum model, which are really close to leaf phenology model. And we found that this more complex model, they are the one that are working best. And so this means that to really simulate correctly the beginning of the growing season, we need photoperiod and temperature, but using chilling and forcing temperature. And this is interesting because this means that, for example, for global warming, we cannot say right away if it will postpone the or advance the growing season start, because it really depends on the balance between chilling and forcing. So now we have a new PhD student that started on this subject with the idea to use more data and also to use all the data, the critical data for the beginning of the growing season and also for the end. And this is a drawing I made to try to explain how the model works, but I will not go in details now. And if you have questions, maybe we can come back. So now I move to the intra-annual dynamics of tree formation. So what I call intra-annual dynamics is the rhythm of xylem cell production over the growing season. What are the most important drivers of wood formation? And to know that, I just try to explain the total number of cells, which is really close to the tearing width, with the speed of cell division and the duration of the vegetation period. So the duration of the vegetation period, we already talk about it. And we get the data from the phenology. And concerning the rates of cell production, we will see that we use a Gompertz approach. And then we play with the model using a sensitivity analysis, and I will also explain how it works. And just to check that, so this is the total number of cells for the different biomes and elevation we have. We have a lot of variability, but we have also common space where we can make comparison. So concerning the rate, as I told you, we have this compared approach to have to just to compute a mean growth rate or let's say. And for the duration, it's the same. We just take the beginning and the end of the enlargement period, which is for me the best proxy. And so this, with these two approach, these two variables, they are more or less independent. And then we can play with the model. First things that the model works quite well, even for Mediterranean site, which was not so clear from the beginning. And then we can see what we can discuss with this model. So this is the duration of xylem production and the rate of xylem production, and the color, they represent the total number of cells. And the square, they represent the space between the mean of the values and the standard deviation. So, and then this is for the whole data set, and this is for boreal forest, temperate forest, and Mediterranean forest. And then using this approach, we can have a schematic view of the strategy of the different biomes and forests. And for the boreal forest, for example, we can see that the duration of the growing season is quite short, of course, but the rate of growth, they are variable, but quite high. And what is interesting with this approach is we can separate the contribution of the rate, which contribute to 65%, and the duration, 35%, to the total number of cells. And for temperate forest, we have a medium growing season, variable growth rates, which are quite high. And so the growth rate, they contribute for 60% to the number of cells, and duration only 40%. And for Mediterranean forest, then we have long growing season and low rates, but still the rates, they contribute to 55% of the total number of cells. And then another way to see that is just to take the mean number of cells. Let's say we took this band between 30 and 40, which is well represented for Mediterranean forest, temperate forest, and boreal forest. And then we can make the example that for boreal forest, it takes 70 days at 0.5 cell per day to produce these 35 cells. In mean, in average. And for temperate forest, it took 100 days at 0.35 cell per day. And for Mediterranean area, it's 130 days at 0.27 cell per day. So this is just a way to show the difference in the strategy between the forests. And then I move to what I call the kinetics of tracheal differentiation. So this is how cells differentiate over growing season, and we will see the relationship with tearing structure and also the relation with environmental factor and then a little bit with silent function. And we also made some modeling approach, but I will skip that today because otherwise I will be too long. So this is just to show what I mean when I say Turing structure. So for example, it could be characterized by the radial diameter of the cell or the cell wall thickness, the evolution of cell wall thickness through the ring, early wood, transition wood, and late wood. And the most integrative variable is the profile of wood density. And then we need also conceptual model to really extract parameters for we need. And this model is, we said that it's like a network of hydraulic network, where the in the cambial zone, the cells, they are produced. And then they move to the enlarging zone, the thickening zone, and the mature zone. So this is not new. But when we take the data, for example, general data, we can see that we have this sort of wave, but they are not completely parallel. So this means that there is a control between the different pools. And this means that we cannot use the Gompertz approach, for example, anymore. And we had to go for the GAM approach, where as you see the shape, they are more subtle. With this approach and using the cumulative curve for the mature cell, for example, the total of thickening and mature cell and the total of enlarging, thickening and mature cell, we are able to compute for each, let's say, virtual cell, the timing of its differentiation, when it goes in the enlarging phase, when it goes in the thickening phase, and when it gets mature. So with this approach, we have all the timings for the cell differentiation, which is represented here. And with classical quantitative wood anatomy, we have the measurement for each cell. So with these two type of measurements, we can also compute the rate, for example, of enlargement for the enlarging phase, and the rate of wall thickening for the thickening phase. So now we have all what we need in terms of kinetics. We have duration and rates and the final products to understand how it works. So first, results on the parameters concerning enlargement for the three species and in the same region, you can see that there is a decrease from the beginning to the end of the ring of about three times. So let's say we start at 15 days for the enlargement of one cell at the beginning of the tree ring. And then we are more close to 5 days at the end of the ring for late wood. For the rate of enlargement, there is nothing clear. But for the duration of wall deposition, there is an increase this time. And it moves from, let's say, 20 day to 60 day at the end of the growing season. And for the rate of cell wall deposition, here we also have a very clear trend, which decreases by 5 times from early wood to late wood. And then again, we play with that with a model and a sensitivity analysis. So the model again is really simple. We compute cell cross area using the rate and the duration of enlargement and wall cross area during the rate, using the rate and the duration of wall thickening. So here you have the size basically, and here you have the quantity of material. And then we make this schematic view with the results for the different species we investigated. So this is with all the parameters taken as real, just to show that the model is able to simulate the early wood at the beginning of the growing season, then transition wood, and then late wood at the end of the ring. And even you can remark that the a difference between the species is quite convincing because you have a rapid change for Pinus silvestris with a few sets of transition wood and more transient change for Abies alba, for fir. Then, if we see what's happened when we only use the duration and we fix all the other variables to their mean, the duration of cell enlargement, sorry, we can see that we still have a normal tree ring structure with early wood at the beginning, transition wood and late wood at the end. Only the differences between species is not visible anymore. But then if we do the same thing with the rate of cell enlargement, for example, you can see that nothing is, everything is upside down now with the late wood at the beginning of the ring, then transition wood, early wood, then late wood again. So nothing real here. And for the other parameters, it's not as worse as for this one, but it's still not make a realistic conifer treatment. So only with the duration of cell enlargement, we obtain realistic treatments, meaning that this variable is a lot more important for the structure, I mean, than the other one. Then something else we can do with this information we have on the timing of cell differentiation is to compare with the climatic data, but for the exact date when the differentiation occurs. And we can even, for example, here, this is the temperature. We can even have the temperature that the cell feel during the enlargement and the temperature during the wall thickening phase. And you can see that at the beginning or at the end of the growing season, this makes quite a big difference between these two phases of one cell differentiation. And then using this information, but the relation between the climate and the parameters of kinetics, we can investigate further. And so this is about the cell enlargement, so duration first. And you can see that we have no relation between cell enlargement duration in early wood, in transition wood, but in late wood, we have a good relationship with day length, and we don't have any other relationship with the other climatic factors like temperature or precipitation or soil water content. For wall deposition rate, same thing, we don't have any relation in early wood or in transition wood, but we have a good relationship between late woods rates and temperature, and nothing with day length. So then we were intrigued with this, and we go further, and we compare what's happened between duration and rate, and we make this ratio between duration and rates, and we observe that for most of the ring, there is this ratio equal to one. But only for the last 20% of the ring, this ratio dropped. And then we call that when the ratio is about one, we call that there is a compensation between the rates and the duration. And when this ratio dropped, there is no compensation. And then we look what's happened with the cells where there is this compensation. And we compare, for example, wall cross area and temperature where we expect a good relationship. And we don't have any relationship. But if we do the same thing with the cells where there is this compensation, so the 20% of the last part of the ring, then we have a very good linear relationship between temperature and the anatomical parameter wall cross area. So this means that in a normal condition, the cells, they are recording the climate, but only the very last cell, not all the cells of the tree ring. And so this was mainly in normal condition. And then we had this experiment with Sergio Rossi Coop in Chicoutimi about drought stress, and we observe exactly the same compensation effect. So I just show you an example here of compensation between the rates of enlargement and the duration during the drought. So the drought is represented here with this gray band. And we also observe it here between the rate of wall thickening and the duration of wall thickening. So exactly the same mechanism, even if the triggers are different. Okay, so now let's try to summarize what we see. So we saw that duration is the main, duration of enlargement is the main variable that determine cell radial diameter and clearing structure. And for example, wood density, the contribution is around 75%. While rate and duration of cell wall deposition are important to explain wall cross area, but then wall cross area only explain 25% of wood density. So this is not what we usually found in the textbook, where we focus more on the wall thickness to explain wood density. But here the variation, the profile of wood density is really driven by the duration of enlargement. And then of course, this has implication on xylem function. And then what we saw also is this coupling between the duration and the rate, both for enlargement and for wall deposition, and also the effect of climatic factors, mainly on the rates of, okay. So in the future, I would like to continue to work on this influence of drought. First off, I was quite dubious. I didn't think we were able to do it, but then this experiment showed me that it is possible. And now we have even better techniques. So I think it's possible to do it also on the field and also to work on more extreme events. So what I told before was more related to what's happened during normal years. And now I'm more interested also of what's happened during extreme events and also, of course, about declining trees. So now a few words and few slides about future work and what I call frontiers. So one is not so new, in fact, anymore. It's the quantification of woody carbon sequestration. And then a few words about water conduction and the isotopic signal. So this story about carbon sequestration, sorry. So we have this data again from the Vosges Mountains, where we have the variation in stem size, cambial number of cells, and also xylem size. The three of them, they are parallel, and they show a maximum of growth in size in the end of May, while the carbon sequestration curve, we computed that using all the detailed data, but I don't explain exactly how right now. We can talk about it later. The maximal production is more at the end of June. So this makes 1 month of time lag between these two processes. Also this is really interesting because then if we look at the relationship between these processes and the environmental factor, we found a very good relationship between increasing xylem size and day length, and a very good relationship between woody biomass production and temperature. So meaning that these two processes, they don't have the same dynamics exactly, and they don't have the same relationship with the climate. So this means, for example, that when in the Flux Tower site, for example, when we monitor what's happened in the trees with band dendrometers, we miss all this part about the carbon. So we, in fact, we did a bit the same. This is a bit the same concept. This is like a coin where you have the two faces. First phase was about the carbon, and I said that because for the carbon we look at the cell wall material, and then the other phase of the coin for me is more related to water conduction because we look here at the lumen of the tracheids and vessel. And here we compare, this is on the flux tower sites, and we compare the three species with three different drilling structure. So oak with diffuse porous ring, beech with, oak with ring porous drilling structure, beech with diffuse porous ring, and spruce with conifer wood, of course. And then, so this is tree ring width, the growth of the ring during the growing season, the cumulative area of water tube, and the hydraulic conductivity. And then what we saw again is that change in conductivity are not synchronized with change in tree ring widths. And also this, I don't show the data, but also what we found is that these changes in hydraulic conductivity, they are not also not synchronized with the evaporatory demand. So we can see that the three species have different strategy. We can talk later on also, I don't want to be too long. And then about the construction of the isotopic signal, the main point is to create this intranual isotopic value. We have to make section in tree rings. And the idea is to use what we know about xylogenesis to make this space for time conversion and to be able to have, let's say, a time stamp for all the section of the tree ring. And then we did that. We have a paper in preparation, nearly accepted, showing that this methodology is working. And then the next step is to really use it to better interpret the isotopic signal. The problem we have in the area where we are is that this isotopic signal is not so strong because we are in the, well, there is no drought effect in the area. So what we saw is that it's better to synchronize with the what we call the bit more drier period. But now what we will do is to look again for sites where we have more constraint and typically drought constraint. Okay, so I will try now to make a general synthesis and a few perspectives. And the question is, what did we learn from wood formation monitoring studies? And first question is when? And we can answer using tree ring formation phenology, which is related with tree survival and forest distribution. And what we learn is that the onset of xylene formation is related to temperature, but not in the simplistic way, in a more complex way where temperature, they have a role in forcing and also in chilling. And they are related or triggered by photoperiod. And also we learned that cessation of xylene formation is multifactorial and for sure photoperiod play a role, but it's difficult to know exactly how. Of course, water stress also play a role and probably temperature. Then we can ask how much, and this is more about tree ring formation dynamics, which is related to tree growth and forest production. And we saw that the total cell production is more related to the rate than to the duration of the growing season. And the duration are mainly controlled by environmental factor. We saw the effect of temperature, while the rates, they are more related to tree and stand characteristics. This we didn't see much example in this talk today. Then the question about what is more about xylem cell differentiation kinetics. This is related to tree ring structure and wood quality, as we saw it. And changes in cell differentiation duration explain conifer tree ring structure. But here it's a bit the other way around. The duration, they are more related to internal factors, the constraint in development, while rates are related to environmental factors. And we saw the relationship with temperature, for example. And then we saw also that there is strong compensatory mechanism in cell differentiation kinetics. And for example, that only last week's cells, they keep record of climate variation because of this compensatory mechanism, which could also be important for adaptation. And then we can go a bit more in a function with why. So this was about carbon sequestration and water conduction dynamics. So this is, as I said, about xylem function. And what we saw is that growth in biomass is not synchronized with growth in size. And also that even water conduction capacity change over growing season are not also synchronized with growth in size. And then to conclude, I would say this is more the what we learned from the isotopic signal study, that tree rings, they are not timers. Space for time conversion is possible, but require intensive computing and also deep knowledge about xylogenesis processes. So it's not a simple story. Okay, and then a few words about what I see for the future. What I would like to do is to work. I presented here my work on wood formation dynamics, mainly. And so how this can help to have an understanding, a mechanistic understanding of tree ring growth. And then I would like to relate that with more with quantitative wood anatomy and xylem functioning, and of course also with dendrochronology, and to have a better view of how the climate variability also influence these processes. And I think that if we are able to create this integrated knowledge with all these subfields in tree ring science, we can answer the main question, for example, Swedemark point out in this paper, which is called a wood biology agenda to support global vegetation modeling. And we will be able to help in this question about sink versus source limitation, drivers of intra-annual growth formation, of course, but also about drought impacts, functional wood traits and dynamic of biomass allocation. All these points, there is also nutrient cycling, where it's a bit more different, but all these 5 points, they're really key now for the further development of vegetation models. And then how we can understand global change and climate change in the future. And I think, yeah, this is the end. I will just acknowledge all the PhD and postdoc students where I just presented their work today, and also all the people who worked with me or helped me to work. Okay, so this is the end of this talk, and now we can have some questions. I think we have a bit more of time.
Thank you, Cyril, for it was a very nice talk and very interesting. And we are waiting for questions. And
yeah, I hope you are not too exhausted. I'm sorry. Each time I have the feeling that I sort of take a train and you have to follow and you don't have any rest. So I hope you are not too exhausted.
Yeah. And I have one question, and I will start. And how Azolea forestia can be a support for future research on forest on formation of wood, and which collaboration we can develop and for which objectives?
Yeah, I think I can come back to my first slides, because I think in this, well, first, there is the first point I told you that, for example, for the Globoxilo collection, we miss data from South America, of course, and also for some very important biomes like dry region and rainforest. So this is a very technical point, but it's quite important. But I think also in near Forestia, we have a chance and we have a lot more than just this technical aspect. Because well, most of several people, they are really interested in this field of, let's say, wood quality in very general, all the area of also wood density and so on. And this is really important that together we build a more integrated understanding of how it works. So not only the relationship with climate or with some management, for example, but also how it works in wood formation. And so this will help to really have this integrated understanding and to forecast, for example, what could happen. And also, well, of course, we have a larger range of climatic influence, but also on a physiological process. I think we, in the near Forestia, we have specialists of several parts. Well, also, for example, of leaf phenology. And this kind of people, often this group, we are working on phenology, but because some groups are working on leaves, some other on wood, we are not completely interested in the same physiological mechanism. And I think that working together, we can also create a better understanding of tree functioning. And then I can come back also to these slides. Yeah, by the way, I forget roots, but I think this is really important to integrate this at the tree scale to really understand what will happen. And I think this in Via Forestia, we have a lot of strengths to do that.
Yes, of course. We have a question of Satish Kumar. Do you want to ask your question directly to Cyril? You can turn off your phone. Yeah,
if you want, I can stop sharing my screen also.
Hello, I am audible, sir.
Yeah, I can hear you.
First of all, thank you for a very excellent presentation, sir. I have one question that what is the chance of water conduction by previous year xylem tissues and current year's xylem tissues?
I don't know if I understand completely, but you will tell me. Yes, this is, thank you very much for the question.
What is the chance of water conduction by previous year's growth rings and current year's growth ring formation?
Yeah, thank you very much for this question, because this is what I forgot to say in this. I know I try to scare my screen, but it's so difficult.
I mean to say that in sapwood, all the sapwood conducts water, or only current year's xylem tissues conducts water, or only few. Tissues of the last year.
Yeah. This is about this slide. I forgot to tell that one of the biggest difference between the three species and the three tree ring structure here is indeed the how they behave with the previous year. And for example, for oak, previous year could count for not much, I would say in at extreme, nothing. So it really has to rely on the current tree ring. But this is a bit the opposite for beech, where a lot of rings can conduct water. So in fact, there is a big difference in this aspect on the importance of the last ring. So what we observe during the process of wood formation is the significance is really different depending of the tree ring structure. Yes, so this is, I forgot to say it. So thank you very much for the question. And this is the main difference. And also, so it's clear for us that we are only observing the recent what's happened in the few last years. And so we need a good quantification on how many trees are conducting water. And this is the problem because this is not easy to do. Okay, this is just to be quite
okay.
True.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Anne-Sophie, ton micro est coupé.
Sorry. Paulina Pucci says that she has wood anatomical data for South America and Chile and Argentina and Araucaria Araucana, and she published this data a few days ago, I think. So thank you, Paulina, for your contribution. And we have a question of Ron. Do you want to make your question?
Yeah, sir. Hi, thank you. That was a very, very enriching talk. Thanks for that. I had a whole bunch of questions actually, but I'll try and find. So I work on tropical systems, tropical trees. And so I was wondering how much do we understand about the growth season in the tropics? I mean, is it restricted to one part of the year or is it more spread out? Is that in the, and your thoughts about, you know, this whole addressing tree phenology, wood growth phenology in these tropical species, which are so rich in many, many species, right? That's the first one. And the second question is kind of related to the slide you're currently showing right now, which is what are your thoughts on why this decoupling is happening between growth and hydraulic demand? I think if I got you right, what you were trying to say was that what you saw was that period of xylem growth was not the same as the period of hydraulic demand. And why do you think that happens? And what would have caused, you know, why is that decoupling happening over there?
Yeah. So concerning the first question, there start to be some knowledge about equatorial tropical system, but there is less publication and a lot more variability, so it's more difficult to. But the difficulties, in fact, it's often to, again, like for trees, to be sure of what we are really observing. And I mentioned, for example, that we started some work in Guyana, and I remember we had all this micro course and turing section, and it was very difficult to say, okay, but there is a beginning, there is an end to this formation. So everything was happening at the same time, and so it was really difficult to make sense, in fact. But then I think if we really want to move there, we have to go for species that are easier to understand. And some of them, they make growth ring related to climate, some other related to phenology, to leaf phenology, and so on. So this is one point to go first with this easier species. For now, it's really an important domain with very few knowledge. And the second point about the decoupling between evaporative demand and capacity conductivity, I'm not able to explain it correctly. For sure, the fact that some trees they can rely on several rings to conduct water, this is a part of the answer. But then saying that, we expected that the relation will be better for oak than for beech and spruce, for example. And this was also not completely the case, because for oak we have quickly a good conduction because of the first ring, the first vessel. And then these vessels, they can maintain or they can be tylosed, and then conduction is dropping. So one part of the answer is this, again, the fact that several rings are conducting water, but this is just a partial answer.
Right, yeah. Thanks a lot, sir. It was a wonderful talk as well.
We are waiting for other questions. Last one.
Can I pop in another question while we're waiting for other questions, if you don't mind, sir?
Of course.
Was wondering if xylem length is it can be assumed to be independent of this xylem size growth, diameters growth. Is that a fair assumption to make, that they need not be correlated? Or
I didn't get it. Can you try to say it again?
I was wondering, the xylem length for all of these three species, at least, do they vary drastically? Because here we're talking about these cross-sectional areas and increase in diameter and the rate of increase in diameter, right?
Yeah.
So do their lengths also vary a lot, or?
You mean the size of the cell?
No, the length of the cell. So if I take a transverse section.
Okay, because here all what I show is a cross section. And then your question is more about the, what do you call it? Now I don't have it.
The transverse, I guess. Transverse.
Yeah, transverse section. No, in fact, the even during the wood formation process, I don't know if I can come back quickly to this kind of, even during this process, in fact, so this is all in cross area, but the length of these cells through this process, they vary very, not a lot. It's something like 10%. So this is, and on the variation is only what we call intricated growth. It really only helps to so the tracheids, you know, they have this short of spindle shape, and so they go intricated, and so this growth in length is only to intricate the tracheids. So there is not much work on that, but they are not growing much in this direction. And by the way, in fact, even so, this is the radial direction. So it's like if the stem is there. Maybe it's better if I show this one. So it's difficult here, the cells, they are smaller, but they are growing in this radial direction. But in fact, even in this tangential direction, they are not growing much, because you see the cambial cell, so here the cambial cell, they have more or less the same tangential dimension as the mature xylem cell. So in fact, it's a bit strange, but the process of enlargement and wood formation is really in the radial direction and not much in the tangential direction and not much in the length direction also. Was that this question?
Yes. That was what I was asking.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
In the chat, thank you. In the chat, Patrick Heure say that for a student in French Guiana, the difficulty is indeed to refer one of the same ring on the observation in the microcall taken in at various time and share two paper. I think is due to there is no clearing in this type of forest. So thank you, Patrick, for your contribution in the chat. If we don't, for the moment, we don't have other questions. If it's okay, we will close the seminar now. Alejandro Martinez have a question. You can ask a question, Ale.
Alejandro.
Yes, sorry. Yes, Cyril. So very nice presentation. Only a question of, I don't know if you have the respond, but can you try to explain or to consider an approximation or the more appropriate approximation to try to measure phenotypic plasticity, maybe using the microdensity profile and taking into account all the information of the xylogenesis knowledge or processes. I think that this is a challenge for us to try to make an approximation to try to phenotype in the plasticity as measure of the adaptation to climate change.
Yes, I'm not sure I can answer the question, but I have few elements. They are related because here I presented here this story about the isotopic signal, but in fact we also did exactly the same thing with the density measurements. And in fact, if you want, for density, you can divide the ring in 100 sections and you have your density profile. So the two questions, they are quite close. Now I try to remember the main message, but because I remember that I was surprised. And for example, that the variability when we took, for example, let's say that we took this first section and this last, well, the first section. And what we saw is that for our, I think we have 15 trees, the date of the building of this first section is quite comparable to for all the trees. So we don't have much variability here in the beginning of the growing season. And then this is quite interesting, of course, for dendroanatomy and all these kind of ideas that you want. Because the problem here, sorry, maybe I should have started with that, is that usually when we have tree rings, we have in mind that they are they correspond to the same time. So this is true with tree rings because we dated them to the year. And this is even true with early wood and late wood, because you know that early wood is at the beginning of the growing season and late wood at the end. So, but when you make a section in the tree ring, then you are not so sure anymore that your first section in this tree ring will be this at the same time that the first section in another tree. But this we found that in fact was quite conservative, was quite good. This is good for us. I think the one of the problems was that the section, in fact, their time spent is increasing through the year. And so, for example, this means that for the last section at the end, the time span is something like 2 months or even 3 months. And so they are also one on the other. So it's very difficult, what I mean, to say it simply, it will be very difficult to extract individual is not good, but information from one section. For example, information from section 6 and 7, they will be really close together. So it's difficult to say it without the proper illustration. But yeah, let's say that this is two elements. One in a good sense, that finally we found that the synchronism between the section is not so bad, quite good. So we can work on the variability between trees. But the signal in it is really difficult to isolate between the section, and will be the same with the density profile. Okay, it was not so clear, but.
Yes. Thanks.
We don't have any question, so if it's okay, we will close the seminar now. Thank you very much, Cyril, for your presentation, for your talk, and thank you also very much to all the participants. We were close to 80 people today, so thank you very much for the participation. And I record you that the next seminar will be on September 24th for Maria Elena Fernandez will present this talk. So thank you very much.
I just have two questions.
Sorry.
Yeah, just first of all, thank you very much for the invitation. And then I just wanted to know, because I didn't read the comments, so do you think I can have an access to the information that was posted?
I don't know how it's possible.
You want a copy of the chat?
Yes.
I can send you that.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So thank you, bye-bye. Thank you very much.